But it was, I thought it was a lightning rod that popped at the beginning.
You got me out of the house.
Okay, Rabbi Yisai, the topic is bungalow, something bungalow colonies, halacha and hashkafa. Okay, so to be yaitz to the halacha portion of the program, I'd like to just give a little primer, which really is not so much about bungalow colonies, but we discussed Erevin and it became such a wonderful discussion. I'd like to discuss just a bit in Hilchos Erevin about what goes on in a bungalow colony. One place that there's no shaila of an Erev works is in a bungalow colony. Bungalow colony is a chotzer shel rabim, okay? Everybody is living together, hopefully in harmony. And the idea of an Erev, I just wanted to discuss with the Olam just a few parts of the Erev, and maybe it's partial to you, but it's something to note. It's also something that I'm sure that there are many people who, unfortunately, maybe we'll discuss this soon, go to bungalow colonies that there is no Rav. So perhaps someone who's learned a little bit will go around and check the Erev. Maybe we'll impart some knowledge over here that people can spot things that are a problem. Okay. The concept of an Erev is that the Rabbanon, it's not like it's Rambam and Rashi really, but the basic idea is that the Rabbanon understood that just like there is an Isser D'oraisa of going from a Rosh Hashanah Yochid to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and vice versa, a person can become confused as to what exactly is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So the Chachamim decided that every Rosh Hashanah Yochid that spills into a chotzer of more than one house, more than one dira, is mimicking the idea of Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because there's a lot of people that have rights in the chotzer. So the remedy for this is that what we do is we want to create a situation where we're viewing that all the houses, all the people are really living in one house. And the other houses that they're actually living in are really just part of the chatzim. In other words, they're not, and the concept is makam pitagurim. Everybody understands that there's something with a matzah, with a challah, how exactly you make an erev. The idea is where my pas is, right? The way to a man's heart is through his stomach, right? Where my food is where I live, okay? So then everybody's sharing a matzah, or sharing a box, but we'll see exactly how much. If you have more than 18 people, there's the shittas chazanish is, I believe, 800 grams of matzah, which most boxes of matzahs do not have that. It's a chumra dikashita. You should have two boxes of matzahs and put them in one sal. So in order, everybody is now, and that goes into one bungalow, goes into the shul. Everybody's living there, and everything else is. So it's really a chutzah, not a rabbin. It's a chutzah. It's like, let's say we would have 100 people in our family, right? So, 100 people living in one house, so it's not a chatzis rabbin, it's a chatzis one dira. That's the idea of eruvei chatzeres. Now, in terms of eruvei chatzeres, that is how we take care of that problem. But there is another problem. This is where the checking of the eruv comes about. The checking of the, by the way, in order to do this, this is something that people make a mistake about, okay? How is it, everybody has to have a part in these masses, right? Everybody has to have a part in. How do you have a part in? Someone is zoicha for everyone. Generally, there's one person who goes and takes care of the Erev. What does he do? He goes to the store and he buys a box of matzahs. Buys a box of matzahs, two boxes of matzahs, and then he goes and he says, "B'hadei neruva yehei sharalanu." There's shemutas us with this Erev to go. We might see him. Right? Baruch Ata Hashem. First of bracha on there. The problem with that is that once you own something, you cannot make a kinyan on it to be mazaka anyone else. You own it already. The only way that I can acquire something for myself and others, or to create a situation where others are being kinder, is if I'm making a kinyan on it. But if I own it, there's no point in me making a kinyan on it. It's mine. There's no kinyan on it. I own it already. So that's called, you have to be mezaka al yedei acher. Someone else has to be zoicha, what's called zochen l'adam shelo b'fanav. Someone else is zoicha for the tzibur, for the other people. And then you can make a bracha on it. That is the process of an eruv b'chatzeres. However, That's not the only problem. Of course, the other problem is that you need mechitzas. It has to become Rosh Hashanah Yochid. How does one create mechitzas? So some bungalow colonies are lucky that they have gates all around, and you really don't have a problem as long as there's no hole in a gate more than 10 amos. Okay? More than 10 amos. If you have a gate that's more than a hole that's more than 10 amos, you could have 400,000 linear feet of fence. And if you have 10 amos open, the whole place is possible. Okay? 10 amos lechumra is about 15 feet. Okay? That would be the smallest shear for 10 amos, and that is what your one should go with. That's, now, how are we misdaken that? Well, if you have children in the Bengali language, that's really major, much of the point. Tzuris HaPesach doesn't really help you much, because kids, it helps you for Eruv, but it's really a sakana. Hamir Sakanta Mei Surah, kids can get lost in onto the road, really it should be gated off. But in Halacha, there's something called Tzuris HaPesach. What does a Tzuris HaPesach do? Tzuris HaPesach mimics the idea of a Pesach. And it says, this is a Pesach. What does a Pesach mean? Pesach delineates a different area. It's a different area. Okay. Now, a Tzuris HaPesach has certain halachas that many people are not familiar with, and the person has to know. First of all, the Tzuris HaPesach has to be plumb. Meaning, if you have a lechi that goes like this, that's no good. Okay. Lechi has to be straight up. Okay? And it has to meet the wire. It doesn't have to meet the wire physically. It has to meet the wire theoretically. In other words, I could have two lefties like this, and I can have a Tzuris HaPesach on top like this. They don't touch. But it goes straight up. But it has to be plumb. Now, if you're going to have a lefty like this, and it bends like this, so the bottom here goes like this, right? It's not going that's not a straight Tzuris HaPesach, it's not kosher. So it has to be straight. That's the first thing. It has to be straight. Now, the other thing is,
you have to take the level and make sure
that
it's 100% straight.
It has to, but to the mind, to the naked eye, it has to have a Tzuris HaPesach. Now, you could see it's making a Tzuris. Now, that's one thing. Another thing is, a Tzuris HaPesach, and this is something that people cannot be a Tzuris HaPesach min hatzad. What does a Tzuris HaPesach min hatzad mean? Tzuris HaPesach min hatzad means that the top, right, the koira agabeyim, which is mashu, it doesn't make a difference, has to be on top. Okay? If the tzuris, if a person is going to attach a wire here on the pole, that's a puzzle. That's tzuris HaPesach. That's tzuris HaPesach on top. Okay? That is the din with the tzuris HaPesach. Now, the another issue, legabe mechitzos in the legabe tzuris HaPesach, is that a person has to know another thing. That which I said, this is something. Can I
how do I pose it?
And I went over to the person and I said, there's a halacha called Asyadvira Mehagyesu Mehagyesu Mavatalin. That means, if you have agra on both sides that's greater than the thing in the middle, it knocks it out, so it's non existent. He says, no, he says to me. There's Aymuru Rubala parts. Unruh parts means you have more wall than opening. So if I have a stick here, the omen, what does the wall do? The wall closes it off. Everything's good. I said, I think there are three gamars back here. He says, what are you talking about? There's a chazanish that says this. I said, I don't believe it. So he takes out a sefer Nisibus HaShabbos from Rabbi Blau, Dayan Blau, and it was a brilliant, brilliant Talmud, and he quotes on the bottom a chazanish, and look up the chazanish, and the chazanish doesn't exist. It's not there. In fact, it was a mistake. It was very, very interesting. We had this machlokes like this. I mean, whatever, it was pashut, it was wrong. And a person has to know two things from this. First of all, you should know that I move our parts doesn't go first. You knock out the wall first, and then you have nothing. Okay, you have a sefer. The other thing is, never paskin a shaila from a kitzur sefer. You should never do that. Okay? The only kitzur sefer you really could paskin a shaila from is from your shop's kofasim. The Kleisenberger Rebbe left over a tzavo to his kids, never to paskin from a kitzur, she mekatzur masachayim. The kitzur is mekatzur masachayim. Okay, that's that halacha. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, that's what got me angry.
So in the city, if you have between two houses, you don't, there's no fear to put anything across the driveway or something?
No, that's a different din. The din that you're talking about, you're saying it's not more than 10 hours.
No,
that din, if I have an area that's bounded by three walls, the fourth wall cannot be totally exposed. There has to be
a straight wall. You can have
now, Meikara din, I don't want to get, I'll tell you, a Mavui has a takana, a tikkun, you went to the Nerevin. Either you put a lechi there, or you put a kara. Okay? we use the Torah as a Pesach. Why do we use the Torah as a Pesach? Because there's a Ramah that says that Zir brings a Torah that says that we don't know what a Mavi is exactly. We don't know what a Chatzir is. A Chatzir means a bigger ticket. Now the truth is, for a Chatzir, all you would need would be a Pastala. But we use the Torah as a Pesach to make it ironclad. That's the only reason. Otherwise, you really don't have to. And if you ever get stuck in a pinch, I could tell you certain things that you could be starting from. But that's not for now. Okay, that's Legabe Vatin. I want to bring out another idea. La Halacha. There's a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Hadlakas Neiros that says the following thing: if a person lights neiros in the house and doesn't eat in the room with a neiros on and goes outside, it's a bizarre internationality decision. I cannot tell you how many people tread upon this halacha, especially in the bungalow colony. What do people do? They want to sit outside. They want to eat outside. They want to eat with those guys, about eating with their friends also. But l'maisa, it's a design to the nerves. A person is not supposed to do that. That's a mufresh among an abraham in hadlakas nerves, and nobody's heard of it. So that's something that people should be aware of. L'gavi hadlakas nerves, l'gavi sudas Shabbos at night. That is something that is. That's a different thing. Saying you're in your dalat amos and you're in your bias. And you're going away from the nearest. That's the idea. Talk about eating somewhere else or somewhere else. If you have to go somewhere. I'm saying eating outside. I'm saying eating in the chutz.
Specifically eating outside. Somebody else,
so the Magen Avraham seems to be saying that if it's possible for you to be eating in that room and you're going away from the nearest, it's possible to design. Okay, that is legabi the halach. Now, what I really wanted to talk about was the idea of what a bungalow colony is supposed to be, and the idea of and where it has gone, and the pitfalls one can have going to a bungalow colony. And I'm sure everybody knows it. Everybody can identify perhaps with what I'm talking about. But the truth is that, like everything in life, okay? Like everything in life, something can be used for good, something can be used for bad. A person can take things as an opportunity, unless they're absolute ra, okay? Unless they're absolute ra, okay? Then there's nothing to do about it. But l'maisa, Amalek was absolute ra, there's no ticking for Amalek. But short of Amalek, we can use everything in a positive way and a negative way. The city, in the summer specifically, is an absolutely horrible place. It's a horrible place for children. It's a difficult place for children. I think it's even more of a horrible place for adults. And the idea of going to the country, and I'm not just talking about the heat, okay? The idea of going to the country is a tremendous opportunity that a person can have in being mechanic his children. I want to first talk about the idea. I had a discussion once with a Kerli Jungerman. He was much older than me when I was in Kerala, when I was a younger man. And he told me the following thing. He happened to have gone to a bungalow colony in a camp, and he issued a camp. He said, for 2 months, I can take my kids out of the city, and they could be in Yerushalayim. That's how I view a bungalow colony. They're not hanging around goyim. They're not seeing prostitutes. They're not hearing nivul peh. They're in a total Jewish environment. The only people that are not Jewish are the Polish people picking up the garbage. Okay? That's their exposure for 2 months. Now, the Ketusha, Rabbi said, the person never went to Eretz Yisrael, and you don't stay at the David Citadel, because there's a lot of stuff going on at David Citadel. The plaza's a little better. The person stays around Geula, Meishar. You stay there for 2 months. You stay there for a week. I remember, okay, this past year I went with my son right after the bar mitzvah. We went to Eretz Yisrael. So I stayed in. I have a cousin who has an apartment in Rehov Strauss 45. Okay, and I remember it's mamash right above Kikar Shabbos. We were there for a week. We walked around here. We went here. We went to Chevre. We went there. I remember landing in JFK, getting into the taxi cab. And in the taxi cabs now, some of them, they have TV in the back. I think it's called cab TV. And I remember how they were showing something. It was clearly there to pique the interest of men, okay, post-pubescent men. And I remember looking at and being so shocked, and like my sensibilities being so shocked by it, that it was like, it was a culture shock for me, because for a week I was in Yerushalayim. For a week I was totally unexposed to such things. The only ads I saw for diapers and Israeli soap for was dishwashing liquid. That's what I saw. And for lotteries, right? Villa Vivovo, you know, that's what I saw. A person can make their experience in the Mongol columns a very, very, very wholesome place. The problem is that we don't plan. We have to plan that way. And truth is, it could be a wholesome place. It could be a tremendously wholesome place for the adults too. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity not to bring other things into our lives, and to protect our families, and to protect our children. And the truth is, it's an opportunity for the adults, and maybe even a bigger opportunity for the adults. The truth is, a person goes away, he's much more relaxed. You go to the bungalow colony, you leave the city behind. I know there's something called a BlackBerry. I know there's something called email. There's all these things. People are always connected all the time. They don't look at shit. But Lemaisa, Charlie, Lemaisa, I want to say something. I want to say something very, 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 I think, which is a very salient point. And it's a point I try to make all the time. I told you, I see a lot of things. And people talk to me. And you'd be surprised people talk to me. You'd be surprised how many women, nashim, call me, with problems with their husbands. And you see how many, you'd be surprised how many men call me with problems with their wives. And the biggest problem is that people are not communicating. I don't mean communicating just ideas. Being with their family. The family feeling that their father's there for them. And he's there. Nothing else is there with them. And be a big knacker. I mean, you know, I'm on the phone a million times a day. But to be honest with you, it's a foible of mine. It's a problem I have. It's something I have to deal with. But the opportunity to communicate with your wife, to speak to your wife, to have the opportunity to discuss issues, and to get to know each other, it's a tremendous opportunity. One of my biggest pet peeves is that people decide everybody needs vacation, everybody needs entertainment, okay? So people want to go out. So they go out to eat. Couples go out to eat. What is the point? How much time do we have for our family, our spouses? Why go out with another couple? I'm not talking about preachers. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just the concept of being with your family, being alone with your family. And getting to know each other and building on our relationship. You know, sometimes people, we always say the mashal, you know, there are people who learn how to daven at 8. So for 90 years, they're davening the same davening that they learned at when they were 8 years old. There are people who dated their wives, and they dated each other, they got married, and their relationship is the same as it was then, if not more strained. It's a way of reinvigorating that relationship with not only our spouses, but with the idea of bringing another couple into that. Not using the opportunity is really foolish. It's foolish. And there are things that and aspects of our spouses that we could get to know so much better and dealing with issues and speaking to them and that's something that has to, that's an opportunity that has to be used, especially when during the week we're not there. When during the week people come back to the city, which is another issue. That's not a very natural situation. It's an unnatural situation. You know, coming home every night is very, you know, there's a checks and balances in coming home every night. I don't have to come home every night. I could be anywhere and everywhere, right? And that's something that's a frightening thing, and it's something that, but lighter, there are people, and a lot of people, and people in our community, that look at that opportunity of being away from their family as a license to do whatever I can do, whatever I want to do. And believe me, it comes to my plate plenty of these things. Of unfortunately, people have to realize that it's also an opportunity. It's an opportunity at night. When I'm away from my family, if I don't have the responsibility of diapering my kids and washing and washing my kids in the bathtub, and I don't have the responsibility of doing homework with my children, and I don't have the responsibility of shopping, right? I can go to any restaurant and have my supper. I don't have to do anything. It's an opportunity to do something that's going to be a radical idea. To actually grow in ruchnius. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to get a chavrusa, to sit and learn, to go to shiurim. There are shiurim every night of the week in our community. Every night of the week, a person can go to a shiur, and he can gain and he can grow. It's something that a person has to realize as an opportunity. That's an opportunity. And we throw out our opportunity. We shouldn't lose that opportunity. A person has to go in with a plan. A person has to come into the sun with a plan of recognizing how he can use it to accomplish and to grow. You know, the Arizal tells us, and I say this over every year before the summer, the Arizal tells us that there were 3 months that were given to Esav HaRasha, that he has dominion. Tammuz of an Elul. The Sutton has dominion over Tammuz of an Elul. Yaakov Avinu was mispala that Esav should lose Elul and he should get back Elul. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Elul back to Yaakov. Just look at history and see what happened Tammuz and Av. And look at ourselves and see how we get blinded by the sunlight, we get blinded by the freedom, and we don't realize that there's a bigger picture. There's a picture that we're out there Hashem work. There's a picture that we have a family. There's a picture that we have to grow ourselves. And we have to take things and realize that they're opportunities. Nishnoda. I really should shut this off. I want to talk about something else also. And this goes, really, it's not something else. It's the same thing. And this is something that I believe with every fiber of my being. A person has to realize, I don't know how to shut this off, I don't know how to shut it. My wife says, I don't know how to shut this off. I'm pressing again. Matoivu ahalecha Yaakov mishkin esecha Yisroel. The bracha of Klal Yisroel, says Rashi, is that Shalom Yayu Pischehem Mechuvanim Zelaza. Klal Yisrael doesn't have their doors open to other families' doors. Families live privately. A Yid has to know there's something called a bias. I live in the bias. A bias is separate. It's a Rosh HaSayachit. Even though the Chatz is Rosh HaSayachit, but the bias is more of a Rosh HaSayachit. You need an Erev to be able to carry, because that's a Mokam Harav. We live as a family, as a unit. We don't live with other families. We don't live in an environment where men are talking to other women, women are talking to other men. And this is something I want to tell you, a very interesting thing. There were two Balabatim, I'm not going to say who they were, who came to me, who wanted to make an Erev on that block. We were discussing the possibility of how they can make the Erev on the block. We were discussing the logistics of making an Erev on the block. It actually came out that it wasn't possible because there were gates between the house. It wouldn't have made, logistically, it didn't make sense. So we were talking about the idea. So we were talking about the idea of a Chalal, and we spoke about Erev in communities. And I was so happy to hear one of the Balabatim look at me and he said, I was just in a certain town, I'm not going to say where, so I don't know if I'm talking about. They have an Erev. He says, you know, I'm happy there's no Erev here. Why? He says, you know, I was in this community and there was young people and there were 10 couples eating together in Shabbos afternoon. It was such a disgusting scene. You couldn't tell whose wife was whose wife, whose husband was whose wife, who went with who. It was like a lottery. Rabbi Say, this is something that is rampant in Bangalore colonies. And it's a preachers. You know, Chazal tell us, Al Tar B'Sichah Yema'isha. Al Tar B'Sichah Yema'isha Be'ishtechan, Chavachoy Be'ishas Chavercha. And the first is Mar B'Sichah Yema'isha, Seifa Yerush Kehenen. Azishtein Chazal. Okay, those are the facts on the ground. And there's something I once discussed over here, and I was so happy to hear one of the Chabadim told me that Marish, the whole block took it on. A person doesn't call his father by his first name. A person doesn't call his Rebbe by his first name. Why not? Why not? Somebody can say it's chutzpah. Why is it chutzpah? Because to a Rebbe, there has to be a bit of a distance. A person has to have a step back. To a father, to a mother, they have to step back. There has to be a distance. Sometimes you can come too close. Coming too close is no good. Calling someone, there is nothing sweeter to a person than the sound of their name. Calling someone by their first name is a kurva. Right? Anybody tells you, it's a closeness. It's a closeness. It's coming close. Anybody tells you, any public speaker, anybody you want to endear yourself with the other person, use their first name. Right? Calling an Eishes Ish by her first name to her face is a kurva. It's a closeness. And it's a line that shouldn't be crossed. That line shouldn't be crossed. And Bechlal, the whole surah of Chaburis, together, zusammen, with a leichkeit, with a kalos, in a relaxed environment, can lead to tremendous, tremendous, terrible things. And not only that, it leads to other things. Did you see her husband was so like he peeled an orange for me? How come you don't do that for me? And when he comes up, he sweeps the porch. How come you don't do that for me? And how come he does the laundry? He slaps. Look what he's doing. Right. She puts on this. She wears this. She wears that. Huh? How come you don't look like that? It's a very dangerous thing. It's a very dangerous thing. And mind you, Rabbi sir. This one. And there's some places that have this open door policy. Okay? People just walk into a bungalow. Right? They walk into other people's houses, walk into the bungalow. It's not a shepritzus. It's not proper. It's not proper and it's not proper. It should be used as an opportunity. An opportunity of time. Friendship is wonderful. Guys fraternizing with the guys is great. It's gewaldic. It's achdus. It's beautiful. Of course, not during davening. But I'm talking Bechlal, relaxing, playing ball, going swimming. It's a beautiful thing. Having a kumzitz with the guys, a bonfire. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And it's something that should, but it has to be with that. Chumachmi's twist. Say it by Torah. Have a share in the Beis Medrash. Everyone should share. It should take an opportunity. Everyone should say a little bit of chabura. Make it Torahdik. It shouldn't be callous. It shouldn't be low, it shouldn't be vacuous, it shouldn't be empty. And there's another thing. One of the most yishmaka things in the world is to speak Lashon Hara. It's mamish hafladik. It's unbelievable. You sit around and talk about this one and that one, and did you see this and did you see this? It's also one of the biggest averus in the world. A person can speak a word of Lashon Hara, be either kama v'kama lavim, kama v'kama asay, and kama v'kama arurim. Cursed is the man who speaks this way. And this is something, Rabbi, I want you to know, that is a terrible thing, bechlal, especially when women sit around in circles and talk about this one, and talk about that one, and talk about this, that, and the other thing. And it's something that's tremendously deleterious to people. It hurts people. And there should be an awareness, a maximum of feet, that people should realize. And people should maybe even learn halachas of Lashon Hara together. Sounds like a real nerdy thing to do. But you know something? It's not a bad idea. Together. And there's another idea, another thing. People are on vacation. They think that the dress code is different when you're on vacation. I take walks on the road. Outside my bungalow, I walk. I take a bottle of water and I go walk. Okay? I see people, I cannot believe that they're from Jews. It's amazing to me. It's an amazing thing. People don't realize the base of office of sin. And I want you to know, at the end of the day, a man is responsible for how his wife walks out of the house. A man is responsible that his wife's knee should be covered. A man is responsible his wife should wear socks. A man is responsible that her elbow should be covered. A man is responsible that she should wear clothes that are so tight that everybody sees every aspect of, you know, oh, you gained 14 ounces, right? And there's a niyazach, by the way, where women are pregnant, they have to wear clothing that you can push it, see every movement, every kick that the mother has. It's a princess. And in the summer, it's worse and worse. My boys say, the way it is the following. It could be used in a very positive way. It could be a relaxing time. It could be a fun time. It could be a ruchnius time. Or it could bring people down in ruchnius terrible. A person has to have a plan. Mrs. Sharm tells us that the Yetzer Hara is the most omnipresent thing. You know, the Yetzer Hara, it's a very funny thing, very interesting thing. Chazal, I don't have to get into it, but Chazal discuss that the Yetzer Hara is nimshal to a zvuv. Amalek is nimshal to a zvuv. What's a zvuv? A fly. What's a fly? Why a fly? The fly has no busha. You ever have a fly, especially in the sun, it's hot, and the fly's on the air? You go like this. You miss it, of course, and it flies away. And 4 seconds later, it's here. You go like this, and 3 seconds later, it's here. You go like this. That's the Yetzer Hara. There's no busha. He attacks you at all corners. And he's always there. He's there wherever you are. You drive back from the country. You could listen to who knows what in your radio. You could listen to a Torah tape. You could listen to there are so many tapes available. A person could learn half a shas going back and forth in the summer. I don't know, half a shas. A person could put, there are discs of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. There are discs of Mishnah Brura. There are discs of Daf Yomi, a person could chaza. There are uplifting speeches. You could take a tape of who knows what, where, when. Beautiful, beautiful things. Your entire person could accomplish, or a person could do it. He could listen every 20 minutes and find out exactly the exact same piece of information of who's on the disabled list and who won the game and who pitched and who did this. You could hear that. You could be a bucky and all those things that matter. Right? Or a person could accomplish. Rabbi say, I hold every person, I manage hold this, every person has a chiv to have a plan what he's going to do. A chavrusa at night. A chavrusa to learn. A place to go for a shia. And maybe a chavrusa to check in with. Where we are, what we are. You know, I have a gevaldik idea. Somebody even gave me this idea. I think maybe I remember discussing this idea. Maybe people shouldn't be alone in the house. First of all, Bechal says, halacha that a person who lives alone with bayis yechidi, it's not so posh, you can live in the house alone. You can stay in the house alone. But anyway, people should bug together. Would be a very big, perhaps a very big gather. Focus on, you'd save electricity. Everybody has to put all their air conditioners on in all the houses. Have a couple of people living in a house. It's not much to evolve. Okay, that's not going to happen. We all know. Okay. Everybody likes their own space and their own privacy. But Lemaisa, if I know I have a chavrusa that I have to go learn with, if I know there's a shiur I'm going with a friend to, if I know that it's not only accomplishment, but it's a gather. It's a gather. And a person can plan the exact opposite. A person can plan free at last. I remember hearing a story from... actually, it's funny, my wife told me the story. About this man who was married for 60 years. His wife got sick, and he took care of her. And at the funeral, he was masked and buried. That a line is something that could be for positive, could be for negative. Rabbeisai, Roshan Hora, give me our eyes. There's so much that a person could be nichshulin. Abizrayu darayis is so, you drive through the city, sometimes I have to go to the city, it's like, it's not normal. It's absolutely not normal. A person has to realize that wherever he is, and a person has to use the summer months and realize that the summer months are a challenge. They're a challenge. And if a person picks up the challenge, he can accomplish tremendous things. And if he doesn't have a plan, he can slip very, very far. I see it with Bachar, and I see it with Balabatim, and I can see it in Balabatim's eyes. see it. You see it in the way that the way Bechlau, the way that people daven, you could see it. It's something that's dangerous, but it's something that could be used for the good. That's a little bit of a hashkafa. Maybe make a shiur with this in the Bangla colony. Make a time that you take you go out with your wife, not with other people, with your family, specifically alone. And taka, people should understand that when they come back and they're alone, they could be used for the positive, tremendously for the positive, and class for shalom, they could be used for the negative. And the Rabbeisai, at the end of the day, the Rambam says two things that I'd like to quote. The first thing is the Rambam says mefurish, that if a person's mind is empty from chokhmah, he is no question he is going to get involved in things that are dvarim asurim. It's a Rambam in Yisurei Biyah. The Rambam says that the drive is so much a lev who's poni min hachochma. That's why he's up there. That's the first thing. A lev poni min hachochma is a person who's running after kol min etayves. And a person has to realize that if he infuses his time with chochma, with real chochma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, that's the greatest panacea for that. The other thing is, and perhaps this is even more important, I say that perhaps it is more important, a person is ultimately influenced by the people he keeps company with. And a person always, always is influenced by who he's around. If someone's doing something wrong, call them on it. Don't join them. Don't join them. It happens with sneers. It happens in every aspect, with women, with men. A person has to realize that if he's not mashpia on his surroundings, he is mushpa from his surroundings. He's influenced by his surroundings. A person has to be careful who he goes with, who his next door neighbor is, if he can, what circle he's part of. If you're in a colony and there are certain different things, who is he part of? Whose kiddush does he go to? You know that a few years ago, there was a kiddush in a bungalow colony that they gave out ices, and there was vodka in the ices. Somebody injected vodka into the ice pumps. Hilarious. First of all, it's dangerous. In fact, there was a bungalow colony that somebody put a cannabis plant, the produce of a cannabis plant, in brownies, and kids ended up in the hospital. You know that? This is hilarious. Relaxation is not hilarious. It's not. It's hilarious can only bring you one thing. It brings a person down. A person has to realize that there is a time to relax and there's a way to relax. There's a theoretical way to relax and there's a non-theoretical way to relax. That's how we have to view the Bungalow Colony. That's how we have to view the summer. We have to view the Bungalow Colony. And when you go to Florida, it's the same thing. And when you go to California, it's the same thing. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, it's the same thing. I remember hearing about a whole olam that went to a Ruchnius, took a trip to Eretz Yisrael, and they went for lunch for 3 days. One day they were in Bnei Brak, and then the other day they were in the Golan, and they went to Rabbi Abul Chatzera, and they went to the Arizal's Mikvah, and they went to Tiferes Rambam, and all those things. And the last 2 days, of course, they spent the Eilat, and then they went home. There's some sort of a dichotomy in there. A person has to realize that he always has to have his guard up. And he always has to realize, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the wrong thing? What am I doing? Sometimes we have the ability, and the Rishonim say this, the sun blinds. The sun blinds a person's sensibilities. And the sun blinds a person's judgment. And a person has to realize that that's the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara tries to get us to be dulled. And we can't be dulled. A person has to realize after the Sama is an Elul, is a Rosh Hashanah. Not so easy to come to an Elul and a Rosh Hashanah if we have a difficult Sama. A person has to realize that the Eibush is always there, on vacation or not. And he has to realize that it's the way he dresses, the way his wife dresses, the way he talks, the way he davens, the way he learns, the way he uses his time. Shetaka b'zoicha, that we should plan the right way, we should live the right way, we should live matavu lechi yakov mishkanesecha yisro. we should live that our psochem are not mechuvonim zelazeh, and we should become better acquainted with our mishpachas. Our ava for our mishpachas should become deeper. Our ava for our spouses should become deeper, and our relationship should become deeper. And that's something that is a worthwhile vacation.